This morning on WCHL, Trader Joe's recalls peaches, plums, and nectarines. Orange County's early voting will see few changes this November. Some were happy, others not so much.
It is a privilege.
Okay, so it has to be right. It's a right. It's a right that was earned.
And the Affordable Care Act could drive costs up for UNC hospitals.
Medicare is comparing all hospitals across the country, but it isn't making any adjustment or consideration for how sick the patients are to begin with.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carver Road traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, another check-in from the ACC kickoff comes from UNC senior bandit Norkeithus Otis, who says he's primed for the 2014 campaign. And
autonomy is the new buzzword in major college athletics.
That's this morning in Archansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 72 degrees in Chapel Hill. Dense fog out there in some spots. There is a dense fog advisory that remains in effect until 9 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. 30% chance of it, and our high today in the low 90s, so it's going to be a hot one. Grocery store chain Trader Joe's is recalling peaches, plums, and nectarines for possible listeria contamination. The fruit was sold individually and in 4-pound boxes between June 2nd and July 19th. According to the company's press release, no one has reported any illness from eating the fruit, but the products were pulled once the supplier indicated contamination may have occurred. Listeria can cause fever, muscle aches, and gastrointestinal problems. Young children, pregnant women, people with compromised immune systems, and the elderly are particularly at risk for infection. Customers should dispose of the fruit or contact the store for a refund. Trader Joe's has three locations in the Triangle, including one here in Chapel Hill at the shops at Eastgate. If you'd like more details on the recalled products, visit our website, chapelboro.com. The Orange County Board of Elections voted yesterday to expand early voting hours for the upcoming fall election, but the three-member board did not add as many hours as more than 60 supporters who showed up at the Board of Elections meeting in Hillsboro would have liked. They also did not add voting opportunities for Sunday. WCHL's Danny Hooley was there and filed this report.
Tuesday's public hearing at the Orange County Board of Elections got heated at times between supporters of expanding early voting hours to Sunday and opponents, particularly Northern Orange County resident Bill Knight.
Voting is a constitutional right, but it is also a privilege that was paid for by millions of Americans that shed their blood for it. So it is a privilege.
Okay, so it has to be right. It's a right.
Board of Elections Chair Kathy Knight tried to restore order, and eventually she did. A few others in attendance spoke against extending early voting hours to Sunday, and three of them said they were with the Orange County Republican Party. One of them, Daniel Ashley, accused the nonprofit group Blueprint NC of organizing the movement to extend hours in an attempt to take down the GOP leadership put in place by North Carolina voters. Others argued that the low voter turnout for elections didn't justify spending taxpayer money for more voting days. That argument was supported by two one-stop poll workers. But the Sunday voting opponents were overwhelmingly outnumbered in the room. The enthusiasm shown by people who wanted Sunday voting was noted by Jamie Cox, the lone Democrat on the three-member board.
I am concerned about not having Sunday hours because of the overwhelming support that has received from a very broad and diverse segment, many, many segments of our community.
Some elected office holders were there to speak up for the Sunday option, including Lee Starrow from the Chapel Hill Town Council, Randy Haven O'Donnell from the Carborough Board of Aldermen, and Jen Weaver of the Hillsboro Town Board. Orange County Commissioners Penny Rich and Renee Price were there but didn't speak. UNC student body president Andrew Powell was there to represent students.
Many students are incredibly busy during the weekday, working to pay for college, working on independent research projects and extracurricular activities, going to classes. On the weekends, particularly Sunday, they have less direct obligations.
But the opponents prevailed. The two Republicans on the board, Kathy Knight and Anna Kuhn, rejected a motion by Cox to add Sunday, October 26th, as an additional voting day. Knight later explained that adding Sunday would be unfair to Board of Elections staff and poll workers. Next, Cox made a motion to extend voting by 1 hour on Saturday, October 25th. He also moved that the Orange County Board of Elections location on South Cameron Street should be open from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. on weekdays during the early voting period. That motion carried unanimously. The three members also agreed to use the same five voting sites that were used during the primary: the Seymour Senior Center, North Carolina Hillel, Carborough Town Hall, Masters Garden Preschool, and the Orange County Board of Elections. You can find this story at our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Does your heart skip a beat during a downpour and make you wonder how long the rain will last? Last year's flooding may have heightened all our senses to that. With the potential for rain and thunderstorms through Friday this week, Chapel Hill Stormwater Management Engineer Sue Burke says the only time the stormwater system could be tested is if severe thunderstorms drop high amounts of rain in a short period of time.
When we've had what we call high-intensity, short-duration storms, which means the rain is coming down at a really high rate over a very short period of time. The water has trouble then actually getting down into the storm drain system. There's just so much of it.
The town saw 0.66 inches dropped on it Monday. That's about two-thirds of an inch. It was spared the same storm that Durham saw, which flooded some parts of the city after more than an inch of rain was reported at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. Some areas may have seen more due to the trend National Weather Service meteorologist Nick Petro says would present the biggest problems.
The main concern will be poor drainage flooding. As any of these heavier showers, they're going to move very slowly. There's not a whole lot of wind in the atmosphere, so these things, when they move, they're going to move very slowly, and they'll have the potential to dump a lot of rain over any given area.
Thursday and Thursday night come with the greatest chances of rain and thunderstorms at this point, although the chance of precipitation tops out at about 50% during the day on Thursday. The National Weather Service is predicting less than a tenth of an inch of additional rainfall each day unless a severe storm hits. Last year, more than 2.5 inches of rain fell in the 4 days leading up to June 30th, when 5.12 inches fell in less than 20 hours. Some Chapel Hillians remember that as the worst flood in some 30 years. UNC Hospital may have to pay millions in Medicare penalties for a high number of patient infections and complications, according to a provision of the new health care law. Here is Princess Streeter with more on the story.
In an effort to lower health costs, the Affordable Care Act has authorized Medicare to make assessments of hospital-acquired conditions and crack down on hospitals that aren't meeting their standard. Preliminary scores show 16 North Carolina hospitals are currently at risk of penalties, including two of the largest in the Triangle, UNC Hospitals and Wake Med in Raleigh. Medicare authorities score on a 10-point scale, with the worst of the infections and health complications of hospitals ranking higher. UNC Hospitals was scored at a 7.375. Wake Med received a score of 8.025. All scores above 7 fall below the 25th percentile.
Another, you know, it's reasonable to think that there may be, in the aggregate, more infections, but that may not have anything to do with the quality of care that's provided in the hospital.
That's Brian Goldstein, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at UNC Hospitals, on why its 801-bed facility ranks higher than most in hospital-acquired conditions. Goldstein says the scores are self-reported and submitted to Medicare by UNC Hospitals, and rankings are calculated solely through assessments of Medicare billing and monitoring hospitals for infections. Hospitals were notified of their scores in April, allowing for administration to review their rankings before the final scores and penalties are released in the fall and administered in the 2015 fiscal year. The scoring system has no minimum passing grade, leaving hospitals that do not receive a performance requirement score of less than 7 with definite penalizations and a 1% cut in Medicare reimbursements. The program does not recognize any patient care documentation or factors outside of their final tally of infections, such as how sick the patients are upon admittance or the socioeconomic backgrounds of hospital patients.
25% of hospitals are going to get penalized in this program, and no matter how much they improve. So the actual scoring is based on how the hospital compares to itself, I believe, from a baseline period of like 2006 or 2007. That's how Medicare chose to score this. So let's say you're a hospital that wasn't doing so well in 2006 and 2007, but now you're doing better. You're going to get a better score. Let's say you were already doing well in 2006 and 2007. You didn't improve as much. You still improved, and your infection rates might be lower than the other hospital, but you're still going to get a worse score in this program.
Goldstein compares this system to a teacher grading on a curve and announcing on the first day of school that 25% of students will automatically fail, no matter how well they do throughout the course, just because that is class policy. The penalties provided by the Affordable Care Act have been a controversial hot topic in the hospital industry, as many of the largest and more research-based hospitals treat the sickest patients, putting them at a higher risk of infections and other complications. Goldstein told WCHL the Association of American Medical Colleges recently wrote to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to alter their scoring system for a more holistic reflection of the quality of a hospital's care. With final scores soon to be released, Goldstein said he believes it's important for the Medicare system to be reformed, but also for hospitals across the nation to keep their focus on the health and safety of their patients.
We could, you know, go a lot deeper and wider and discussing, you know, all the efforts we make every day to aggressively, you know, find and then ideally fix problems that could lead to issues of quality. So that all needs to continue. All we're asking for is for these programs that tie back to dollars to be based on a fair assessment of the data that all hospitals provide.
You can find the story at our website, chapelboro.com. Princess Streeter, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:17. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit.
Thank you very much, Ron. Right now, traffic moving smoothly for the most part, as it has been, but be on the lookout for dense fog. There is a dense fog advisory until 9 o'clock this morning. 15501 northbound and southbound between Estes Drive and I-40, seeing minor delays, nothing major there. No accidents, no additional delays being reported right now. Again, please use caution, turn your headlights on, keep them on low beam, that'll help you be able to see a little bit better. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day that needs reporting, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
Very well done. We need a foghorn this morning.
Yeah, that's right, we do.
Well, we have to find one of those around here.
All right.
Dickie's Barbecue Pit has brought you this look at traffic. Dickie's Barbecue Pit on the Chapel Hill side of Durham, right next to New Hope Commons. You can eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 72 degrees, and as Rand said, very foggy in some places. A dense fog advisory remains in effect until 9 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, 30% chance of rain, high today in the low 90s, so here comes the heat. Tonight, partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, our overnight low, 72, still 30% chance of rain all night long. Then tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with a 60% chance of rain, a chance of showers in the morning, maybe showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, high tomorrow in the low 80s, so at least the temperature is going to back off just a little bit by tomorrow.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
Common Core curriculum standards for North Carolina schools will be rewritten under a bill signed into law by Governor Pat McCrory. McCrory signed that bill yesterday, along with four others. He said the Common Core bill does not officially repeal the federal standards, but will review and improve them. North Carolina is now one of five states that have changed or removed the Common Core standards from schools, and they're creating new state-specific ones. The law directs the State Board of Education to rewrite the Common Core standards for the North Carolina K through 12 schools. A new 11-member Standards Advisory Commission will be formed to make curriculum recommendations to the board. Common Core, which schools began testing 2 years ago, would remain in place until the new standards are completed. Legislation to protect health care workers, sponsored by a North Carolina lawmaker who died last weekend, has been signed into law. Governor McCrory signed that bill also on Tuesday. It was sponsored by the late Representative Jim Fulgham. The measure requires the state to develop regulations to protect people who work with or near hazardous materials from disease and injury caused by exposure. Fulgham was a retired brain surgeon from Raleigh and a first-term lawmaker. He died at the age of 70 after a recent cancer diagnosis. His memorial service is scheduled for later today. And Governor McCrory has met with Senate Republicans to try and look at ways to narrow their differences over budget adjustments that were supposed to be in place 3 weeks ago at the beginning of July. McCrory's office and a top budget negotiator confirmed the governor visited the Senate Republican caucus on Tuesday morning for about an hour and a half. Senator Harry Brown says McCrory and senators did not have a breakthrough in that closed-door gathering. The Jacksonville Republican says the governor and lawmakers proposed potential compromises to end the delays preventing the budget's completion. The governor and Senate Republicans don't see eye to eye on the size of teacher pay raises, the future of teacher assistance, and Medicaid. McCrory prefers the House's ideas on these issues and previously threatened to veto any budget with the Senate proposals inside. WCHL News Time, 7:21. Time now for championship sports. The focus is on Carolina football. UNC senior bandit Norkeithus Otis was thrust into the national spotlight as he fielded questions from the media at the ACC kickoff. Otis is an outstanding defensive player. He says he senses a different aura around the family-oriented Tar Heel locker room heading into this 2014 campaign. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
The 2014 Bednarik watch list, an all-conference candidate, says there's something different about the run into the fall this year.
You can just see the focus on everybody, even the younger guys that came in. That's puppies right now. The focus is just amazing. Everybody's ready to get after it.
That laser-like focus described by Otis has been well documented by quarterback Marquise Williams, wide receiver Ryan Switzer, and the head coach himself, Larry Fedora. Where does this work ethic come from? Otis says it starts from the top. Strength and conditioning coach Lou Hernandez has been practicing what he preaches.
He's a funny guy. He wants us to work hard. He pushes us to work hard. But the thing that gets us the most is he works hard as a strength coach, too. You'll see him out on daily runs. He's running 3 miles, and you'll see him come back in. He's lifting. He's just foam rolling, stretching.
The Tar Heels, picked to finish fourth in the ACC Coastal by the media, will be hoping the rededication of effort and intensity will lead to a run at an ACC title. The urgency is certainly there. Coach Fedora says Carolina can't afford to let this prime opportunity slip by. One of the most charismatic players on the squad is Switzer. Otis says the sophomore spark plug cares deeply for the football program, and that includes the Tar Heel fans as well.
Ron's a great guy. He does all the little things right. He makes everybody happy. He wants everybody to be happy. And if he loves you and he's really committed to you as a person, he does whatever he can in order to make you happy. And our fans is somebody who he loves. They support him, and he wants to give them the same thing in return.
Through the hard work and sweat, Otis and his Tar Heel teammates are growing extremely close. Recently, Switzer wrote his fellow Tar Heels a personal letter. Otis says the family bonds are evident across the board, but says Switzer takes it to a whole nother level.
He was kind of explaining why he does what he do for us. He said he comes in, he works hard every day because it's for us, it's for him. But it's, you know, this is his family. We're his brothers, he loves us. It meant a lot.
Otis is ranked second at UNC in sacks and tackles for a loss. The Gastonia native will be aiming to back up his strong performances a season ago in his Chapel Hill swan song in 2014. At the media days earlier this week, Coach Fedora didn't have any problems answering who was the defensive leader on his team in maybe the quickest response ever recorded. That's easy, Norkeithus Otis, Coach Fedora said. The Carolina skipper says when Otis speaks up, everybody listens. And that's helpful to a defense that lost the veteran leadership of defensive end Kareem Martin to the NFL. As for his playing position on the field, Otis says the bandit slot is right up his wheelhouse.
It's the best of both worlds. I get to be involved in run stop. I can be a pass rusher. I can be a guy that drops back into coverage. I can stand up as a wheel backer, and I can rush from a backer. So it's fun. It creates different opportunities for me to make plays.
There is one area of the game, though, even Otis hasn't always been so comfortable with. His eating habits.
Eating all the time. I didn't like to eat like 24/7, but I've learned you got to eat like 6 times a day, eat snacks during the day. So it's fun now. I like it.
But if Otis isn't so hungry off the field, he's certainly ravenous on it. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Autonomy is the new buzzword in major college athletics. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Systematically and with calculating savvy, the so-called five power conferences neatly spaced out their preseason football media days. The SEC began with its week-long circus, followed by the ACC and then the Big 12. Still to come are the Big 10 and the Pac-10, or 12, or 14, or whatever they call it these days. Like the written profiles in the conference media guides that used to be so important to the various commissioners, now it is their twice-a-year state of the state of football and then basketball in October. And it seems like the Big Five league bosses met for a round of golf in Florida to strategize what to say and how to say it. Wonder which one of them drove the beer cart. So far, the SEC's Mike Slive, the ACC's John Swofford, and the Big 12's Bob Bowlsby are all pitching the upcoming vote at the NCAA convention in August that would give the five big boy leagues what they are calling autonomy, meaning they can make and play by their own rules, and the other 250 or so members of the NCAA cannot have anything to say about it. All these years, it was hard for the power conferences to put in expensive policies that would generate more revenue because the proposals were shot down by smaller schools that could not afford to make those changes. Now, with college athletics on the brink of chaos, thanks to the Ed O'Bannon suit, a famed player union at Northwestern, and talk of breaking up the NCAA completely, so-called autonomy is sure to pass. But what does that mean? Surely the Power Five will vote to give players more than what is currently in an athletic scholarship, tuition, room, board, and books, spending money to equal what the average cost of attendance is for normal students. They also will pass a vote giving scholarship athletes catastrophic insurance coverage. But those are no-brainers. The real fight will be amongst commissioners, college presidents, and TV execs over whether to peel off part of the $1 billion the leagues make and pass down to the schools, to pay the players a part of that pie. Whether all the athletes get it, including the Title IX compelled women's sports, where it comes from, and just how much they get, are decisions that will either look like a few band-aids here and there, or a full-scale hemorrhaging of amateur college sports as we know it. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Grammy Award-winning saxophonist Kenny G is returning to the Durham Performing Arts Center on December 7th for an evening of holiday hits. This will be his first time back since his show sold out back in 2011. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 o'clock and can be purchased at deepaknc.com. But luckily right now at WCHL, it's Christmas in July. And we'll be qualifying finalists every day this week. And this Friday, one of the finalists will be announced as a winner, receiving a DPAC VIP package, including four tickets to the show, and a $40 diner gift card from 604 West Village in downtown Durham. Be the fifth caller right now to qualify as a finalist and get a chance to experience Kenny G in person this December at DPAC. Again, caller number five is a qualifier at 919-929-WCHL.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. One in five Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. To prevent skin cancer, we urge you to protect yourself from the sun by seeking shade, covering up, and wearing sunscreen. When caught early, skin cancer is highly treatable, so early detection and regular screening is critical. If you're concerned by a non-healing spot or a changing mole, make an appointment at Central Dermatology Center, 919-401-1994, or visit us online at centralderm.net. We accept most major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInEvents.com.
Oh, let me jump back in here. Been on the phone this morning with our qualifier, Lillian Lee. Believe it or not, Lillian just called in, got qualified to win that Kenny G prize package at DPAC. And Lillian, good luck. A lot of people still calling. I've got my qualifier, but I'll do it again next hour. So
Be patient. You might have a chance to win next hour here on WCHL, or a chance to qualify at least. It's a little foggy out there this morning. We have a dense fog advisory until 9 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny. Chance of rain today. Our high today in the low 90s. So we are talking about really hot weather today.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
Malaysia Flight 17. They left Ukraine, headed for Amsterdam. CBS's Mark Phillips is at the crash site.
Finally, the victims' bodies, the moving of them for the process of identification to the Netherlands is underway. But there is a problem with the numbers. There were 298 people on this plane, and they have not all been accounted for.
Still plenty of work to do in that debris field.
If the stench that's still around this place is any indication, there are still parts of victims' remains in this wreckage. And right now, nobody's looked them.
As for the shootdown of this Boeing jet, national security correspondent David Martin told CBS this morning.
Pictures of the wreckage show pitting intelligence officials say is consistent with shrapnel from the warhead of a surface-to-air missile. And in a conversation intercepted by Ukrainian intelligence, a known pro-Russian rebel leader is overheard reporting, "We have just shot down a plane."
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732 WCHL, we have 72 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today in the 90s. It is really foggy out there in some spots, so please be careful. Don't forget your low-beam headlights this morning. Grocery store chain Trader Joe's is recalling pizzas, plums, and nectarines for possible listeria contamination. This fruit was sold individually and in 4-pound boxes between June 2nd and July 19th. According to the company's press release, no one has been reporting any illness from eating this fruit, but the products were pulled once the supplier indicated that contamination may have occurred. Listeria can cause fever, muscle aches, and gastrointestinal problems. Young children, pregnant women, people with compromised immune systems, and the elderly are particularly at risk for infection. Customers should dispose of the fruit or contact the store for a refund. Trader Joe's is located in Eastgate here in Chapel Hill, two other locations in the Triangle. If you'd like more details on the recalled products, visit our website, chapelboro.com. The Orange County Board of Elections voted yesterday to expand early voting hours for the upcoming fall election, but the three-member board did not add as many hours as more than 60 supporters who showed up at the meeting in Hillsborough would have liked. They also did not add voting opportunities on Sunday. WCHL's Danny Hooley was there and filed this report.
Tuesday's public hearing at the Orange County Board of Elections got heated at times between supporters of expanding early voting hours to Sunday and opponents, particularly Northern Orange County resident Bill Knight.
Voting is a constitutional right, but it is also a privilege that was paid for by millions of Americans that shed their blood for it. So it is a privilege.
Okay, so it has to be right. It's right.
It's a constitutional right that was earned.
Board of Elections Chair Kathy Knight tried to restore order, and eventually she did. A few others in attendance spoke against extending early voting hours to Sunday, and three of them said they were with the Orange County Republican Party. One of them, Daniel Ashley, accused the nonprofit group Blueprint NC of organizing the movement to extend hours in an attempt to take down the GOP leadership put in place by North Carolina voters. Others argued that the low voter turnout for elections didn't justify spending taxpayer money for more voting days. That argument was supported by two one-stop poll workers. But the Sunday voting opponents were overwhelmingly outnumbered in the room. The enthusiasm shown by people who wanted Sunday voting was noted by Jamie Cox, the lone Democrat on the three-member board.
I am concerned about not having Sunday hours because of the overwhelming support that has received from a very broad and diverse segment, many, many segments of our community.
Some elected office holders were there to speak up for the Sunday option, including Lee Starro from the Chapel Hill Town Council, Randy Haven O'Donnell from the Carrboro Board of Aldermen, and Jen Weaver of the Hillsborough Town Board. Orange County Commissioners Penny Rich and Renee Price were there but didn't speak. UNC student body president Andrew Powell was there to represent students.
Many students are incredibly busy during the weekday, working to pay for college, working on independent research projects and extracurricular activities, going to classes. On the weekends, particularly Sunday, they have less direct obligations.
But the opponents prevailed. The two Republicans on the board, Kathy Knight and Anna Kuhn, rejected a motion by Cox to add Sunday, October 26th, as an additional voting day. Knight later explained that adding Sunday would be unfair to Board of Elections staff and poll workers. Next, Cox made a motion to extend voting by 1 hour on Saturday, October 25th. He also moved that the Orange County Board of Elections location on South Cameron Street should be open from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. on weekdays during the early voting period. That motion carried unanimously. The three members also agreed to use the same five voting sites that were used during the primary: the Seymour Senior Center, North Carolina Hillel, Carborough Town Hall, Masters Garden Preschool, and the Orange County Board of Elections. You can find this story at our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Does your heart skip a beat during a downpour and make you wonder how long will this rain last? Well, last year's flooding has certainly heightened all our senses. With the potential for rain and thunderstorms through Friday of this week, Chapel Hill Stormwater Management Engineer Sue Burke tells WCHL the only time the stormwater system could be tested is if severe thunderstorms drop high amounts of rain in a very short period of time.
Well, we've had what we call high-intensity, short-duration storms, which means the rain is coming down at a really high rate over a very short period of time. The water has trouble then actually getting down into the storm drain system. There's just so much of it.
Our town saw 0.66 inches, about two-thirds of an inch, dropped on it this Monday. It was spared the same storm that Durham saw. They had some real flooding problems over there in parts of the city after more than an inch of rain was reported at RDU. Some areas may have seen more rain and more flooding due to the trend that National Weather Service meteorologist Nick Petro says would present the biggest problems.
The main concern will be poor drainage flooding. Any of these heavier showers, they're going to move very slowly. There's not a whole lot of wind in the atmosphere, so these things, when they move, they're going to move very slowly, and they'll have the potential to dump a lot of rain over any given area.
Now, there is a big chance of rain coming tomorrow, and Thursday and Thursday night come with the greatest chances of rain and thunderstorms at this point in the forecast, although the chance of precipitation will top out at about 60% during the day. The National Weather Service is predicting less than a tenth of an inch of additional rainfall each day unless a severe storm hits. Last year, more than 2.5 inches of rain fell in the 4 days leading up to June 30th, when 5.12 inches fell in less than a 20-hour period. Some Chapel Hillians remember that as the worst flooding that we've had in about 30 years. Neuroscience pioneer Dr. Edward R. Pearl has passed away at the age of 88. Pearl was the Sarah Graham Keenan Professor Emeritus of Cell and Molecular Physiology at the UNC School of Medicine. His groundbreaking work more than three decades ago identified a particular class of nerve cells that respond exclusively to pain. His discovery paved the way for research into pain-relieving drugs that block their function. Pearl was instrumental in the formation of the Society for Neuroscience and served as acting president in its first year of existence from 1969 to 1970. Pearl also established the Pearl UNC Neuroscience Prize, which includes a $10,000 reward and recognition of significant achievements in neuroscience. Four past recipients went on to win the Nobel Prize for Physiology and Medicine. He's survived by his wife, children, and granddaughters, as well as many students and colleagues. In lieu of flowers, family suggests memorial contributions be made to the Pearl UNC Neuroscience Prize through the Medical Foundation at Carolina. Again, neuroscience pioneer Dr. Edward R. Pearl has passed away at the age of 88. A law enforcement official in online marketplace StubHub say cyber thieves got into more than 1,000 customers' accounts and fraudulently bought tickets for events. The official tells the Associated Press that arrests are expected in a case that sprawls across international borders. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. is expected to hold a news conference today with English and Canadian officials. San Francisco-based StubHub says the thieves got account holders' login and password information from data breaches at other websites or from malware on the customers' computers. The company says it detected the unauthorized transactions last year and gave refunds. And the Federal Aviation Administration says it will give airlines an update by midday today on its banning of flights between the United States and Israel. The flights were canceled yesterday after a rocket fired from the Gaza Strip landed near Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion Airport. U.S. Airlines acted ahead of the FAA on Tuesday and indefinitely canceled all future flights to and from Israel. WCHL News Time, 7:40. Coming up next, Laura Sanders has today's commentary. It's about Common Core And the governor's action yesterday signed that out. And also, we'll talk with Rand Northam in just a moment about what's happening at chapelbro.com.
Hello, my name is Brian Popp, owner of Landscape Logic and second generation landscaper. At Landscape Logic, we've been taking care of business for over 20 years. If your landscape has got you working overtime, we can help. Spring cleanup, weekly mowing programs, lawn care programs, irrigation startup, repair, and much, much more.
Let the pros at Landscape Logic take care of business and work overtime for you. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee. But we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
It's amazing what you can find in your own backyard. Whether you need a springboard to a bachelor's degree or a second chance at success, Durham Technical Community College has provided high-quality, affordable, and convenient technical and career education for more than 50 years. Watch your mailbox for the Fall Continuing Education Catalog. Visit durhamtech.edu, call 919-536-7200, or stop by our Durham or Orange County campus and find out just how far you can go.
7:42 at WCHL. Rand Northam has just walked into the studio. And Rand, what's happening at chapelbro.com today?
Well, KidZoo, you've heard, is taking a little bit of a move through University Mall. It's making room for the new Silver Spot Cinemas that's coming in. And before that, though, it was able to put on the event Dancing Stories with KidZoo and ADF.
Mm-hmm.
And ADF is the American Dance Festival. So Susan Murray stopped by, got some photos of that. You'll want to check that out. And where did all the voters come from is what D.G. Martin's asking. He says voters born elsewhere make up nearly half of the North Carolina electorate.
Really?
Which is very interesting. That's a quote from somebody else in his article. But he's asking, where did all the voters come from? Interesting. And visit our website for our calendar page. Lots of great events going on in and around Chapelbro. You can find a good taste of the events going on in and around the area on our website, chapelbro.com, on the calendar page, and much, much more available for you. It's chapelbro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
We certainly haven't heard the end of the meeting yesterday at the Orange County Board of Elections. They expanded the hours but did not offer Sunday voting during the early voting process.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people upset about that. And
that's for sure.
A three-member board of elections made the decision not to expand it that much. And so a lot of people, you know, went over there. And there was a petition with a whole lot of names on it, and a whole lot of people showed up to speak. And it was quite contentious. So
yeah, that's
at
right.
any rate, we have, if you haven't heard that story, Danny Hooley has the report coming up at our next newscast.
That's right. And it's available on chapelbro.com as well. And, of course, the national issue that everybody continues to talk about is the situation in not only Israel and on the Gaza Strip, but also what's going on in Ukraine and how the Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 was shot down. They're now saying that officials are saying that it was separatists that shot down the plane and not directly Russia, though President Barack Obama saying that Vladimir Putin and the Russians are directly to blame because they provided the weapons, they provided the training, and so on. Now, two Ukrainian military planes have been shot down today. What is, you know, of course, the time is way ahead of us there now, but two Ukrainian military planes have been shot down in the eastern part of that country now as well.
Wow.
So still a lot going on. Of course, it's essentially a no-fly zone for any commercial airliners like that. And right now, even Delta, United, and all the FAA saying that American airplanes are not allowed to fly into Israel right now. So lots going on as far as that's concerned, and we're keeping a close eye on it, and I know a lot of people are thinking about it right now.
And, of course, CBS will have more on all of that coming up at the top of the hour here.
That's right.
It is 7:45 at WCHL.
And now WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Lawrence Sanders.
Last week, all news outlets reported that Governor McCrory says he will sign the NC Common Core bill. And while that is no surprise, I find myself to be quite disappointed. I'm disappointed because this has little to do with education and a lot to do with the fact that Barack Obama is our president, plain and simple. Some of the arguments against Common Core make it out to be some type of mind-altering George Orwell's 1984 type of initiative, and that's just not true. One of the comments from the majority is that the state would be able to craft a curriculum best tailored to North Carolina. Really? First of all, Common Core is not a curriculum. Common Core is a set of standards. Standards that would have allowed us to have a truer picture of how our children, our teachers, our schools, our state, and our nation is doing, and would provide us with the data necessary to better understand how to prepare our children long before they take the SAT, the ACT, or, for example, a civil service exam. In addition to providing us with a common set of standards, Common Core was also designed to enable students to meet the following college and career readiness expectations: that they demonstrate independence, build strong knowledge content, respond to the varying demands of their audience, comprehend as well as critique, value evidence, use technology, and understand other perspectives and cultures. Those sound like some great traits to have, but I can see why it scares the majority. They probably feel that under Common Core, we could end up with a future generation of knowledgeable, independent thinkers who value evidence and understand other perspectives and cultures. I hope that I am wrong, but it doesn't seem to fit their agenda at all. This is Lawrence Sanders.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And of course, since Lawrence Sanders provided us with that commentary, Governor Pat McCrory has signed that bill that he's talking about into law yesterday, along with four others. All the details coming up on all of that in our next newscast. 747.
What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT. What you're saying on the street.
Hi, I'm Kyle Link. According to the Department of Commerce, the North Carolina unemployment rate fell nearly 2 points since last year, but remained flat from May to June. Many suspect this decrease in unemployment is due to the lack of registration for unemployment, thus the change could hold less meaning. We hit the streets to find out if you think the actual unemployment rate in North Carolina reflects this statistic.
My name is Ed, I live in Durham, and I think that it probably does reflect. I believe that people need money, and if they have to jump through hoops to get their benefits, I've been on unemployment before, and even if it's a hassle, I'm going to do it. I do think that you have to consider that once you're out of the job market for a while, I believe it's 6 months, that you're not included in the information. We need to consider that.
My name is Penny Ward. I live in Carrboro, and I think probably the official unemployment statistics don't reflect the reality of how many people are out of work because the statistics don't reflect people who've given up looking for work or people who haven't applied for benefits.
My name is William Washington. I live in Chapel Hill. I think it's dropping. I think both some people are not applying and some people are getting jobs.
Do you think the North Carolina unemployment rate truly reflects the state's jobless situation?
My name is Jimbo. I live in Chapel Hill. I think the unemployment rate is higher because a lot of people are not eligible for it. They haven't worked somewhere long enough to get it. I think the unemployment rate is higher than what you're saying.
My name is Joey. I live in Chapel Hill. The unemployment numbers are an accurate reflection or not of people actually being able to get jobs who want to work.
Hi, this is Ken Fuller. I live in Chapel Hill. And my response to the question is, it's a false indication. Well, how can we really, really know the exact number of people who are unemployed? There's really no way of knowing.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
All righty then, 749 at WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together. And first traffic, here is Ran.
Thank you very much, Ron. Starting in the east right now, I-40 seeing some delays as you head between Harrison Avenue and Airport Boulevard, so be on the lookout there. 15501 northbound and southbound between Estes Drive and Garrett Road, seeing some delays. That's through the I-40 interchange, just minor to moderate delays there. 15501 southbound between Manning and Columbia, also seeing some minor delays. NC-54 eastbound and westbound between 15501 and I-40, seeing some minor to moderate delays as well, so be on the lookout there. Still some dense fog out, so be on the lookout for that. as there is a dense fog advisory in effect until 9 o'clock. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Very well done.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Very impressed. Celebrity guest, Clean Joker, on the way in just a few minutes here on WCHL. Your Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. A dense fog advisory in effect until 9 a.m. It's foggy in some spots, that's for sure. Otherwise, partly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon. 30% chance. It's going to be hot. We might want that rain to come and cool things off a little bit. We're going to get up into the low 90s today. Tonight, partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, then mostly cloudy after midnight as well. Overnight low 72. Tomorrow, an even bigger chance of rain, about a 60% chance of rain, maybe in the morning, maybe a shower, then showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon with a high of about 88. So that's a little better. 751 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond joins us now. Good morning, sir.
You said you're going to have a clean joker on the radio?
Yeah, I got a celebrity guest to tell the clean joke today.
That sounds like a benign character from Batman.
A clean joker. That's right.
Okay. All right, well, listen, buddy, I got a dandy for you this morning. You're just going to love this, Ron, the way you're all hung up on language issues.
Yeah.
And fine points of communication.
Yeah, that's me.
Being the communication professional that you are. In a written language, you know, from time to time you'll see namely, to wit, mm-hmm. that is, you know, little sort of verbal signposts that, you know, here comes a short explanation of just preceded the phrase or the explanation.
Yeah.
Well, here is a word that that summarizes that sort of moment or phenomenon in language. The word of the day, Ron, boy, I tell you, you ready? Take
yes.
a deep breath.
Absolutely, man, I'm ready.
All right, let me spell it for you, and then I'll give you two pronunciations.
Okay.
The spelling is S as in sun, S-C-I-L-L-C-E-T, S-C-I-L-L-C-E-T. Now, one of the versions here of the wordsmith says that you can pronounce this skelaket, skelaket. A little
what?
Unconventional, but there it is. Another variation is siliset, siliset. And what it all comes down to is that, you know, a little verbal signpost I mentioned. It means it's an adverb, to wit, namely, that is. So, you know, you're not going to run into this a lot in conversation. But you will run into it in your vast, studious, copious reading habits that you sustain every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Are you happy with this?
I'm just ecstatic.
You're just ecstatic.
I can't believe
it. All right, well, one more time for the record.
Okay.
S-C-I-L-L-E-T, and you can pronounce it skelaket or siliset. So I tell you, brother, does this program give you choices or not? Are we into it?
I tell you, that doesn't make any sense, but I'll take it.
Well, we didn't ask for your comment about whether it makes sense.
Hey, listen, thanks, man.
Well, you're quite welcome. I'll talk to you in the morning. Be a good boy. Bye.
You got it. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL. Doesn't sound like that pronunciation would go along with that spelling. I don't know. It's brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, and define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 754. .9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. It is time now for the clean joke of the day, and we have a special guest in the studio today. Nicole Bruno is here. Hello, Nicole.
Well, hello. I'm so glad to be here this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad you are, too. First of all, before you tell the joke,
sure.
I know it's going to be funny as all get.
I hope so. There's a lot of pressure here.
Yeah,
you got a
really
lot of good jokes.
There really is. You got a lot of pressure on your shoulders. Don't worry about those thousands of people out there hanging on every word you say. Remember, folks, if it's funny, you can give me the credit. If it's not, it's Nicole's fault.
Oh, now.
Nicole is one of our weekend anchors on WCHL. And Nicole, tell everybody about the show that you do on the weekends.
So we do Caring Connections, and it is a show for caregivers and about caregiving. So we want to educate those listening about all the issues that may face them someday when they're caring for an older adult or someone with a chronic condition. So there's lots of good information out there, and we hope you enjoy it.
So many people going through that now, caring for older parents, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a really serious issue.
It is a very serious issue. There's over 840,000 people in a caregiving role in the state of North Carolina alone.
We wanted to get you in here today just to prove that you have a sense of humor. You don't give a chance to laugh very much on your show.
I try to laugh some, but yes.
Caring Connections, and Nicole Bruno is your host for that show. Caring Connections is on the radio Saturdays and Sundays at 10 o'clock right here on WCHL. Well, what do you got for us? Lay it on us.
All right, so there was a local news station.
Oh, really?
There was.
You know any like that?
I do, and they were interviewing an 80-year-old lady because she had just gotten married for the fourth time.
Uh-huh.
She did. The interviewer asked her questions about her life, what it felt like to be married again at age 80, and what her new husband's occupation was.
Oh, okay. Right.
She said, he's a funeral director. Now, that's not the punchline. Okay. Interesting, said the newsman. He asked her again if she wouldn't mind telling him a little bit more about the first three husbands and what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
She paused for a few moments, needing some time to reflect on all those years. You know, that's a long time, 80 years.
Really? No kidding.
After a short time, a smile came to her face, and she answered proudly, explaining that she had first married a banker when she was in her 20s, a circus ringmaster when she was in her 40s, a preacher when she was in her 60s, and now in her 80s, a funeral director. The interviewer looked at her quite astonished and asked her why she had married four men with such diverse careers. She smiled and explained, I married one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Jim Warren of NC Warren is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
I am Executive Director, very involved in the program work, as well as helping run the organization. A 26-year-old nonprofit based in Durham. We've been a watchdog of the electric power industry for a long time and have been involved in a lot of pollution issues, and especially over the past 10, 12 years, our top focus has been climate change. The more we learn, the more intent we are on changing the course of Duke Energy. This is a Charlotte-based corporation that now calls itself the largest corporate electric utility in the world. And so we feel that changing Duke Energy's course to a clean energy economy can really make a difference globally with this whole climate disruption that is advancing so rapidly.
Some people still say there's no such thing as global warming.
And I don't waste much time trying to argue with folks like that. Overwhelmingly, the U.S. public does understand that climate change is moving along quite rapidly. I think the public does not understand how quickly this is advancing. In the news here this summer, globally, May and June broke all-time heat records. Climate change and sea level rise are well underway, and most people do understand it. So what we have to do is we have to get more people taking modest steps to try to help the social movement to reverse the course of all this. And it's not going to happen at the international treaty level, at least not for a while. But what we can do in North Carolina is we can demand that our local corporate utility, Duke Energy, do what it should be doing to help cut the carbon in this state and the other states that Duke Energy operates in.
You described NC Warren as a watchdog organization, and you're the number one watchdog. How did you get into this kind of work? How did it all develop?
As I became more aware of what was going on in the world, I was just drawn more and more into learning. Then began to realize just how unjust much of our world is, including here in our state. Just became drawn to get more and more involved.
Well, thank you so much for working so hard for this nonprofit organization, and thanks for looking out for the rest of us and staying aware of all these things when a lot of us either don't have the time or don't take the time to understand them on our own.
Well, thank you for the chance to talk with you about it.
Jim Warren, congratulations. You are today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Thank you, Ron.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Flight 17 bodies return home.
A day this country will never forget.
U.S. flight action in Israel.
The grounding could last much longer.
Legal tangle over Obamacare subsidies.
The losing side could appeal to the Supreme Court.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Ukraine's defense ministry alleges pro-Russian rebels have shot down two Ukrainian fighter jets. The development, if confirmed, comes nearly a week after the downing of the Malaysia Airlines passenger jet and seems to dash any hopes of an immediate end to the conflict. On the move today, most, but not all, of the bodies of the 298 victims on Flight 17. Our CBS News team coverage begins with CBS's Cammie McCormick in Kiev.
It was a small, solemn send-off in Kharkiv as the first military plane left for the Netherlands. A Dutch representative there said, "Today your journey home begins." The bodies in wooden caskets, a Ukrainian ceremonial guard carried four of them on board. Authorities think they have 200 bodies, but that leaves nearly 100 unaccounted for. And the Prime Minister of Australia, which had 37 citizens on board, is growing increasingly worried.
We must bring all of them home.
He's calling for a multinational force to secure the crash site. Investigative teams have yet to arrive there because of the fighting nearby. The black boxes, meanwhile, have arrived in Britain. Experts there say depending on their condition, it should take about 24 hours to extract the data. And now with more from the Netherlands, CBS's Steve Futterman.
In two